Good luck. Hello, this is Kay Ballard, and I'd like to welcome you to Women Are Not Funny Radio. This is where we try to disprove the premise that women are not funny. And sometimes we come close, and sometimes we fail miserably, but today we have a good chance of proving that, disproving the premise, because we have a wonderful guest. But for those of you who are regular listeners, you know that what I like to do first, before I bring a guest on, is just wax on. And I've developed sort of a pattern. Like, the first thing I always talk about is the fact that I don't have a voiceover recording yet for our Season 2 introduction. So we have to just listen to William Tell Tricycle, an arrangement of William Tell Overture by Rossini, with no voiceover intro. And, you know, usually what I do is I kind of make excuses for it, or I make fun of the fact that we don't, or I give a reason. The fact of the matter is I've just run out of things to say. You see, I have a plan. The script's been written, but we still have no voiceover intro. And I think for me to devote the next 2 minutes talking about that would be just, well, stupid. So I'm not going to do that. And then the next thing I do, and you're very aware of this because I do it every week, is for some reason I bash the reporter, the newscaster, the broadcaster, Ann Curry. And the reason I do that is because I have always been so irritated and her interview style. And she's very popular. She's very well loved. She has fans. But I'm really not among them, because what I have noticed that she does is she talks on and on and on and on and on. And she previews the question. And then she asks the question in the manner that really provides the answer. And just in case she doesn't provide the answer enough, she'll answer the question herself. And so this has always annoyed me. And, you know, some of you wonder, Kay, do you actually listen to your replays of Women Are Not Funny? Do you have the guts and the courage to do that? My answer to you is, of course I do. You know, I am someone who loves the sound of her own voice, so of course I listen to the replays. And what I have noticed is, my interview style is just like Ann Curry's, except it's, you know, it's lacking in elegance, certainly, but I do exactly that. I just preview the question, talk on and on, ask the question in a way that provides the answer, and then, if I feel like it, I answer it, and then the guests can just make a guttural noise. So, but I'm not going to talk about that today, because I've really beaten that up, and it's wrong for me to talk about it. And then the next thing that I usually do, as you know, you, the listener, one of millions, I talk about last week's show. And I would like to do that for a moment, because it was really, I thought it was just a fabulously fun conversation. Our guest was Susie Brown, who has a big presence on the web called Midlife Divorce Recovery. And she was a delightful guest, and she's a good friend. And so I enjoyed our conversation. And at the end of the show, she surprised me with a very generous offer. You see, her website has developed some bracelets that are made out of natural stones and sterling silver, and they're very good looking. I suppose they're divorce bracelets. Anyway, what she said was that she would like to give a bracelet as a little special door prize, little contest for one of our listeners. And that came as a complete surprise to me. We'd never done a giveaway on Women Are Not Funny Radio. We didn't really know how to go about it. So I said, at the bottom of the webpage, there is a contact form, and it has there's a contact page. I don't think it's a form, but it has an email address. The first person who sends an email to that address will win the bracelet. Well, I have to say, to my great disappointment, nobody claimed the bracelet. Now, that could mean one of two things. That could mean that my count of listeners, and I'm measuring the listeners, I think we have about 2 million listeners per episode. It could be that my count is a little bit off. You know, that's one possibility. And the other possibility, though, is even worse. It's scary. It's horrible. It's hateful. Is it possible that my listeners are so tacky that they don't like jewelry? You know, I can't stand the thought of it. I cannot stand the thought of arms with no bracelets, that I have listeners who just don't even want to wear a bracelet. That is a really horrifying thought. And so, you know, I really don't know what to make of it, but I do know that I have someone here with me today who has a lot of answers. And, you know, I've given it some thought, and I think if we put our brains together, the guest and me, we put our brains together, we would have a complete and fully functioning brain. I just have to believe it. Because our guest today is, well, she's at least half a brain, that's for sure. And her name is Martha Giffen. Martha, how are you today?
I am good, Miss Other Half of the Brain.
Well, as I said on Twitter right before we came on, it's two blonde Southern women from the South who went to law school. And we did it for, you know, I'm sure we had a reason. It escapes us at the moment, does it not?
I really don't know what I was thinking at the time, seriously.
It escaped
me why I did that, why I went down that road.
Well, I do know what I was thinking at the time. And what, you know, I think what I've shared with you and what I would share with anyone who's listening is this. I wanted to go to law school. I had this dream. The dream was to go to law school. The dream was not to be a lawyer. The dream was to go to law school. So the day I walked in the door, I guess I you know, my dream came true. And, you know, since then, it's caused me a lot of consternation because I found, you know, I found myself a lawyer. I'm kind of accidentally a lawyer. It's really weird. But anyway, we do have that in common. And I got to thinking about it, Martha. And I know you're crazy about me, are you not?
Well, I am, as are your 2 million other listeners. I'm just one of many.
Yeah, well, I know, I think in your case though, you've taken it a little far. I think you may be copying me. What year did you graduate from law school?
Oh my gosh, I'm probably copying you. You know what, Kay? I never thought about it that way. I'm copying your hairstyle. You're so on. I'm following you on Twitter. I mean, everything you say, I retweet back out.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God! I didn't realize
really,
it.
You know, well, you know what? It is scary.
Wait a minute. Oh my gosh! I know what the topic is. I don't want to follow you there, girlfriend. But keep talking.
Well, maybe you do. Maybe you do not. You know, that is what we're going to determine. But I want you to know, we are going to accomplish a lot today. Does that make you feel good?
Always. If I accomplish anything, it makes me feel good. If I get out of bed, it's an accomplishment. So, yes, I'm happy about that.
Okay, well, we're going to accomplish a lot, because here's the thing. We have an hour to spend. We owe it to ourselves and to the world, I believe, to make it an hour of a great deal of accomplishment. We can settle some things. We can figure things out. We can even do stuff. We can think of stuff, and we can say stuff.
I thought we can do all that. And also,
yes.
You know, after listening to your intro, I kind of want to practice like my guttural noises for whenever that's appropriate, when you get to the like angry sound question.
Well, yeah, you know, and do you like inquiry? That's, you know, that's something I kind of, I mean, whether you, let me just say this, Martha. You can like her or not like her. It's not really going to affect how I feel about you. I'm still going to like you one way or the other.
Well, you know, since my goal in life is to get on Larry King, he is my favorite interviewer. You know, I want to be interviewed by Larry, who truly half the time cannot remember the questions. So
I'll tell you.
Say whatever's on my mind. I'll just say it because Larry, you know, can't always remember.
I have on my list of things to talk with you about. He's on the list because I was aware that you want to be on Larry King. And it just makes me wonder if I'm being used, like you're just using me to kind of prepare you, to propel you to that. I'm just, you know, I'm just nothing. And you are using me in an attempt to reach your goal. That's what's going on, really, isn't it?
Yeah. You're a stepping stone. Yes, I mean, I'm definitely using you as a stepping stone. I'm going to step right over you or right on you on my way to Larry.
Well, you
knew that. I hate that you figured that out, but that's it. You're my stepping stone.
See, that's the thing you must remember, is that under the hair, yes, I do have half a brain. So here, what I'm going to do, this could be exciting to you, this could be cruel, I don't know how you're going to take it. Have you ever been with Larry King? Have you ever been in the same room with Larry King? Have you ever been around Larry King?
No, have you?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
Oh, my God.
When
okay.
I am kind of an, even though I find myself today in Texas, I'm kind of an East Coast gal, and so when I was a foundation executive, I worked right downtown Washington, D.C., and frequently I would go to lunch at a place where Larry King would go to lunch, and that was the Palm. And he would go there every day when he was there. He would go to the Palm every day. Not me, but he would. And he had a table in the back of the restaurant near the restrooms. You know, and that was very convenient for anyone who wanted to look at Larry King, because you could play like you were going to the restroom when really what you really wanted to do was go and look at Larry King, right?
That
very
is hilarious.
Convenient.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I don't want to upset you. I don't want to disturb you, because I care about you, Martha. But if you're going to be on Larry King, you ought to do it soon, okay? Because
well, that's what I know. I mean, it's my goal. You know, I'm trying to. I'm using other people to propel me there. You know, the Ellen Show is now following me on Twitter, so I may actually use Ellen DeGeneres as some sort of stepping stone to get to Larry.
I would say do whatever is required, because at the time I saw him, you know, when I was seeing him at the Palm on a regular basis, I couldn't help but notice that he was a little bit pruney, you know. I mean, I don't want to upset you. When you see him on TV, he has the lighting and, you know, all of the TV magic. But when you see him in the back of the restaurant at the table, Martha, I say you better get on it, hon. Get on it.
Well, you know, it's not even so much Larry. I mean, if it doesn't happen, you know, that I get on Larry, I do have, you know, plan B is to, be sitting there next to Anderson Cooper. I mean, it would be fine. In fact, I might even take Larry's job or Larry's, you know, position and let Anderson Cooper follow me mm-hmm. every night. You know, that would be okay with me, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a CNN junkie. What can I say? I'm just, you know, a Southern liberal. And none of my neighbors would ever see me on there because, you know, they're all tuned into Fox.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just listening to you talk, and I am really concerned because I thought I had the whole arrogance bit nailed, and apparently there's a ways to go. So you are going to take up now, you know, now it's not only you want to guest on Larry King, you're going to take over his show, and you're going to have Anderson Cooper.
I'm just saying I could. You know, I'm just saying I could. I'm just saying. It can happen.
Well, one lovely.
I'm holding back right this minute from taking over your show right as we speak.
Yeah, I don't think you're holding back. I think you're taking over. You know, just because I said I wanted to be, or I was the accidental host, that was not an invitation for you to take over this show. That was not an invitation.
Okay. I gotcha. Okay.
You know,
I was doing, you know, I was doing
a tryout.
Yeah,
this is a tryout.
I was trying it on, and you know, it kind of hit me. I was trying it out. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I will say this, and we both know this because we've been down the street. Things happen. Things happen. Who knows? You know, who knows? And I am an executive producer of this show, but there's another executive producer, and that's my business partner, Kamala Spearley. And he doesn't always, you know, sometimes after a show, he'll listen to it and he'll say, "Kay, you talk too much," and he's quite fond of me, Martha, as you may be aware. But he won't hold back. He will tell me if I talk too much, and you know, it has happened on occasion.
That you talk too much. I can't imagine
yeah.
that.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I really
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it did, but what I'm saying is he thought it did. It probably did.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a difference there. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But, of course, you know, Kamal, because you are, and it's a lovely thing that you are a member of the Social Media Soiree production team, and you're actually a party host. You are a hashtag party host. And we wanted to mention the fact that there is going to be a soiree on Sunday night, and we're very excited about that because it's the swimsuit edition. I'm a little less excited about it than I was earlier because Kamal announced to me that he wants to be a skin stylist. For the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, and you know, I just when I hear that, I just don't nothing about it sounds good to me.
You know what? I think it's going to be fun. At first, when I heard it was going to be a swimsuit thing, I wasn't so sure. But yes, I definitely want to invite all your listeners to tune in Sunday night to the soiree. My part in it is I'll help with the hashtag party. So when you're on Twitter, you just use the hashtag Soiree, join in the fun, and we'll be talking about swimsuits. I'll actually be in Vegas Sunday night coming to the hash party from there, so that'll be exciting. I may even actually describe to y'all swimsuits that I observe out there
in Vegas. That you observe there in Vegas. Well, one thing about it is frequently at the hashtag party, and part of it is because of the hosts, who, you know, the hashtag party is the fun happening thing. And although I just have to mention this, Martha, and I haven't talked with you about it directly, but I'm a little steamed. You know, when it comes to technical problems, apparently two soirees ago, I think it was our Fountain of Youth soiree, you and Jerry, who is another host of the hashtag party, could not get onto the webcast. So you couldn't hear anything that we were saying or anything we were talking about. But being the troopers that you are, of course, you continued to have fun with the people at the party. And so you had to come up with some material. And what you came up with was a Kay Ballard chia pet.
I forgot about that. It was good.
Yeah, of course you forgot about it. It wasn't you who was being turned into a chia pet. You know, after the party, I go to the Twitter stream to see what all the fun was about, and it wasn't anything about what we were doing or talking about. It's just all about a Kay Ballard chia pet. And I read that.
Well,
with horror.
You know, that was the beauty of it. Since we could not hear anything that you all were saying, we were just making up anything we could talk about. And you know, that was a lot of fun. You know, we were watering you and watching your hair grow, and it was fun.
Well, as you know, this is Divorce Month on Women Are Not Funny Radio. And the reason that it is Divorce Month, Martha, is because it was a very self-serving idea, as you know. And Divorce Month actually started in January. It's kind of an odd month. It started the last week in January and then continued through February. And so every show of Women Are Not Funny would have something featuring divorce. And the reason for that, of course, is that I recently produced a comedy CD about my divorce called KK's Divorce, and we were going to drop it on Valentine's Day. But that didn't happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to be, and the reason I think it's so funny is that despite the fact that TuneCore, who is going to be doing the electronic distribution of the downloads to iTunes and Amazon and so forth, they ship it out to all of those places within 6 hours of you uploading it. But if you're a person who doesn't read the fine print, and if you're a lawyer, you're supposed to, but if you're a person who doesn't read the fine print, you don't see that just because they get it out in 6 hours doesn't mean that your CD goes up on the different retail services within 6 hours. It means it just goes to them. So it's another 4 to 6 weeks before it's actually available at Amazon or at iTunes.
Well, I got you. So, okay.
We have divorce month and no divorce CD ready to go. So it's just, you know, all been amusing. But we are committed. When we go down a path, man, there's no stopping us. We just keep going. And so since this was divorce month, what could be better than to have someone who refuses to play? Someone who just refuses to be divorced and to go along with it, you know, this, you're the contrarian, really, and this adds an element of kind of, controversy, and it's a little provocative, like, you're here on divorce month, women are not funny, you're here just shoving your marriage in our face. That's the way I feel about it.
Now, see, I see it differently. I think I'm here because all women think about divorce, even if we're still married. Find one that has not considered it at one time. Find one who has not thought about it for long periods of time. I dare you, there's not one. So I'm here for all the married women who think about being divorced but stay married. How about that?
Yeah, well, I totally understand that. And one of the things that Susie Brown and I talked about last week, and she has remarried. She divorced after a very long marriage and then subsequently remarried. But we talked about the fact, and I will tell you this, Martha, before I was divorced, I thought I understood divorce because I was married, right? So since I was married, I knew what divorce was. It was not being married, right? I mean, that's the way my brain kind of worked. I thought I understood divorce because I was married. And then I got a divorce, and I found out that, no, I didn't understand divorce, and you really don't understand divorce until you do it. Does that kind of tempt you for me to tell you that?
Well, it really does. I mean, I have, of course, several friends that are divorced, and they kind of tell me the same thing. You know, Martha, you really don't know till you walk in our shoes exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, now, this is really kind of a personal question, and in case you wonder, yes, you are required to answer, you know, regardless. If it totally offends you, if it's something you just can't bear saying aloud or anything like that, I mean, you still have to answer. You have an obligation, and particularly since you revealed to everyone that you're using me, you are using this as a stepping stone to get your real dream to be on Larry King. You owe me a little bit. So here's my question for you. Did you consider, once you were invited to be on this week's show, did you consider getting a divorce in order to sort of just fit in?
Oh, well, you know, I really didn't consider it this week. This has not been one of the weeks that I've considered divorce. you know, it really hasn't. It's been on my mind, but not for myself. No, it is not. This has not been one of the weeks. You know, there's kind of an ebb and flow to that, kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, a woman's, you know, how we are. There's ebb and flow to when I like to think about divorce, and this has not been the week for that.
Well, so now that you're thinking about it, do you think it might have been, you know, it might have been better if you had devoted a little time to, like, I think if you had really wanted to, if you were really thinking about me, as you should be, since you were going to be a guest on my show, you could have called up, you know, some deep resentments that you might still harbor against your husband for, you know, something like not putting his coffee cup in the dishwasher or, you know, something like that.
If it were only that simple. Is it ever anything that simple? Now, I will say this. You know, I've been married 31 years, so I'm not new to it at all. And I will say this. Over the 31 years, you know, I've packed my bags a few times and headed to Mama's. Mm-hmm. I've done some things like that. And, you know, I do think that, you know, too much of a good thing sometimes is not a great thing. So I've had some little moments like that.
Mm-hmm. That sounds to me kind of like showing off and, you know, trying to make something up, just trying to, it's kind of like you're the name dropper dropping up, went to Mama's, you know.
I can't really fit in, but I'm trying to fit in. So, you know,
right.
it's kind of like when you're on the playground and, you know, they're playing a game and they're not letting me play. I got to figure out some way to ease on in. You know,
yeah,
I'm trying to open the door, and it's just not working.
I'm totally impressed. No, it is working. I'm totally impressed. But you know, when I was talking about the fact that you're on the Soiree production team and you are a host of the Soiree hashtag party, well, you have a bio up on our website, and it's so interesting because you turn – I mean, I want you to tell – listeners how you do this, because I think it's wonderful. I mean, I just think it's great. It's kind of like a tip, a marriage tip. So you turned in some raw material for your bio, and I read it, and I saw that you were happily married. And then when your bio went up on the website, you were deliriously happily married. You know, and I thought, how did she do that?
Well, you know what? I've adopted that. Since that was put up, that I was deliriously happy, I thought, you know what? I'm going to become deliriously happy. And so ever since that bio went up, I have made a conscious effort to be deliriously happy.
Oh, that
much
is sappy.
Much to my husband's chagrin.
That is just sappy, you know? I mean, I just wasn't prepared. I was not prepared for that at all. My goodness. Well, I think one of the things that I failed to tell everyone is, and there's no way they would have guessed it, but you are from the South.
Oh, what was your clue?
What I love about it is I grew up in Texas, so I have a tiny bit. I have just a teeny tiny bit of a Southern accent that remains that people sometimes hear. But, you know, when I'm talking with you, they are not going to hear it, Martha. I do not sound like I'm from the South today, do I? It's just all you, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not to me. I mean, you don't to me. You know, I grew up in Tennessee, and I've lived in Alabama for over 20 years. So I've got that Tennessee twang going on with the Alabama whatever we have here. So, no, you don't sound Southern to me. But I mean, I live in the heart of Dixie is what it's called down here. So, obviously.
Well, no doubt. And that's what I kind of wanted to talk with you about that a little bit because, as I think you know, I am a keynote speaker, and I had the occasion to speak at a big event at Auburn University a few years ago. And so they picked me up at the Atlanta airport. I love the Atlanta airport. Do you like the Atlanta airport? I bet you spend a lot of time there.
You know, I got to tell you, I fly Southwest everywhere, and it flies right out of Birmingham. I try to avoid the Atlanta airport. I'm glad to hear that you like it.
Uh-huh.
But no, I try not to go through the Atlanta airport, actually.
Well,
it's not one of my
favorite
places.
Okay. All right. That's fine. But I like it. I do like it. I like Atlanta. And it was so much fun for me to go to Auburn, and they picked me up at the airport, and they took me kind of, you know, snaked through the countryside and took me to a place for lunch. And in Virginia, a place like this would be called a little inn. But what do you call them there? What do you call a little place, a little frame? Let's say it's a little frame house that's been turned into a restaurant. What would you call it?
A bed and breakfast?
Well, I was thinking, no, this is just a restaurant, but I was thinking they're called roadhouses.
Oh, yeah, the roadhouses, yeah. Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people call them that, yeah.
Okay. Well, Virginia be called an inn, but I just don't, you know, it's really, Virginia's the South, but somehow this would not be an inn. So they wanted me to go to this little roadhouse for lunch because they thought it was very cool. And it was. I've never been to any place like it before, but the lunch menu, one of the choices was you could get a salad plate that had 10 different salads on it. So they were small servings, obviously, right? You know, if you're going to have 10 different salads. And so that sounded very intriguing to me, and that's what I ordered for my lunch, was this salad plate with 10 salads.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the 10 salads, how many of them do you think were sweet?
Well, my guess would be most of them would have been because, you're going to have your macaroni salad, your potato salad. You know? It depends on what they put on, the Jell-O salad.
But I can tell you, Martha. Yeah, they all had, the potato salad was sweet, Martha. It did have potato salad on it.
I don't notice it anymore. We drink sweet tea all day long. We don't even notice the sugar. We inhale sugar down here. Sugar.
That is my point, Martha. That is my point. I ordered a salad plate. It could have been pie. It was, you know, it was 10 servings of salad, and each of the servings of salad could have been pie. It was amazing. And
did you have a piece of pie before you left, or did you have banana pudding?
Who would know? You know, if they brought me a piece of pie, I would have thought it was a salad. I don't know if I had pie or not. But, I mean, my host took me there, obviously, because they wanted to take me someplace really nice that I would enjoy, right? And so I had to believe that this was the best that there was to offer. And I just, how do you survive when your salads taste like pie? How can you live there?
I don't know any other way. That's the thing. I don't know any other way. And when I go to different parts of the country, and, I mean, some of their food, you just really do want to sprinkle some sugar on it because it's just wrong. It's just plain wrong.
Well, all I can tell you is I'm amazed by it. I'm totally amazed by it. And I don't really know much else to say about it, except that that is very interesting.
But
you
had a good time in Auburn, right? You had a good time in Auburn.
Oh, I do. And, you know, one thing about it is Southern women are a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about people who like to laugh. People who like to laugh. I mean, and what I do when I speak is I do kind of like a stand-up routine, and so I'm hoping people will laugh. And I could tell these women, they didn't get any of my jokes, but they laughed anyway, and I love them for it. You know,
but we laugh at everything. I mean, everything is funny, and we love to tell stories, and we love to hear each other's stories. I mean, really just like if you go to the grocery store, there is a story there. There is always a story. Whatever you've done for the day, you tell your story and you laugh about it. I mean, it's just life. It's one big story down here.
So who do you, at the grocery store, who do you tell the story to?
Well, you usually tell it when you get home, what happened at the grocery store, because there's always something. You know, you've run into somebody or, you know, they didn't have something or, you know, whatever. There's just something.
Well, one of the things that we talked about on occasion, you know, some months ago, we talked about the fact, I mean, I can totally relate to this aspect of it. you know, I don't always claim the South, but I'm claiming it at the moment. You just don't go out unless you look good.
Oh, for real, yeah. I will say that. Hair and nails are done.
Absolutely.
We have more. I don't know how it is where you live, but we have a nail salon on every corner. I mean, once the nail salons came to our area, we don't go out without our nails done now.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much true in every part of the country. Okay. But
oh, really? Okay. Well, I thought it was
there are a lot of nail salons everywhere. But the whole point is, though, when you're in the South, you just do not go. You know, I mean, the thing about it is, like, you have a tennis dress, right? Not for playing tennis, but for going to the grocery store, right? When you want to look really cute.
And you're going to be in full makeup. You're going to be in full makeup and hair.
Full makeup. Like you would play tennis in full makeup, right? So you put on your full makeup and your tennis dress, and you go to the grocery store, you know? And you're right. Your hair's perfect, and you have the manicure. And everyone understands, you know, everyone gets it. There's another term that I think is so interesting that is applied to women in the South and that women in the South use, and that is mess. Everything's a mess.
I was going to say, if you run into somebody and they, for whatever reason, don't have their makeup and hair done, you know, it's just, oh, bless her heart, you know, she was such a mess.
Exactly. And mess is one of those all-purpose words because that is the word you would use for the woman who shows up there. And, you know, it's probably some sort of emotional problem going on if she would show up at the grocery store not wearing the tennis dress, the full makeup, the perfectly coiffed hair, and the manicure. You know that there's some, you know, there's some problem in her life. So she's a mess. She's an emotional mess. But it also, mess can be used as a compliment, can it not?
Oh, yeah. When you say somebody's a mess, like, she's a mess, that kind of means it's like she's a hoot. She's funny. You know, she's a hoot, she's a mess. Yeah, we use all kinds of slang words, and I forget that other people don't know them, but we do use a lot of slang here.
Well, you mentioned right before we went on that you had just heard a replay of a show I was on Wednesday night where I told our mutual friend, Maggie5565, that I do not care for the term hoot.
No.
You recall that? Don't recall that?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, we use it so we don't even think about it here. I mean, we just use it so freely.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, feel free to do it. Just don't use it about me. I do not like it. I do not like it at all, Martha. I mean, I do not like it. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, what it means is, because you've told me that, I'll refrain from calling you a hoot. But only while we're on the air. Off the air, I would tell my friends, listen to this Kay Ballard because she's a hoot. But because you told me, I will refrain from doing it on on the show with you.
Well, the reason I object to the term hoot is I think it's very downscale. I think it's very, very downscale. And I think it is a term that is used frequently by women who are, you know, typically they're turning a certain age and they say, I am such a hoot. I had a dragonfly tattooed to my breast. I can't believe what a hoot I am. You know,
we really wouldn't use it like that. Mm-hmm. Not where I live. We wouldn't use it. I don't know what word you'd use there, but that's really that's not how I would use it in my conversation. Put it that
it's
way.
Mm-hmm.
No, in my conversation, it would just mean, it would usually be, you know, a good friend or family member, and it would be that I thought they were funny, comical.
Mm-hmm. And
you know what? I might look that up when I get off here. I might just Google that and see what they have to say about that. What Wikipedia would say about that word.
Well, what I would encourage you to do, and this is kind of probably what I meant when I said we'd accomplished a lot today, is because I could feel so wonderful about it if I could improve you.
Okay, what needs to be improved? Tell me. Because, you know,
no, I mean,
I can take criticism, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. No, well, I'm just thinking, you know, you could eliminate hoot from your vocabulary.
I'll try. I seriously will.
I think it's not one of those words
that I use like every day anyway.
Mm-hmm. So see, you're already making excuses for it. How about this? You'll need a substitute, okay? How about instead of saying hoot, what if you say wildly amusing? How do you feel about
that? She's wildly amusing. I think that sounds not as fun.
Mm-hmm.
She's wildly amusing. For one thing, is that that kind of sounds, too serious.
I don't think it sounds serious. I think it might sound
a little more uppity. I think it sounds Ivy League. It sounds too Ivy League for us down here.
Yeah, I think it sounds a little more uppity than hoot. If you say wildly amusing, yes, maybe people will accuse you of being uppity, but as far as I'm concerned, that's a compliment.
Well, you know what? Now, I will say this. Instead of saying wildly amusing, here's something we might say. We would say, that girl is wild. Just the word wild. And that means she's funny. She's just wild.
That means funny, too? Really?
Does it ever mean anything? Well, okay. I guess that wild could mean that she, you know, is wild.
That's what I wondered. Because, you know, since we are talking about divorce, and we really apparently aren't, but Tiger Woods today had a little press conference. You'll have your opportunities to see. But, you know, he was just kind of talking about the friendliness factor, how he's friendly and all that. And so he didn't use the word wild, but he was laying it down. I would call him wild and friendly.
Friendly and wild.
Friendly and wild.
And I would call those women that he knew were somewhat wild.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were here's something else that we're doing now as we're having this discussion, and I think this falls into the category of accomplishment and improving. We're talking about provocative things, aren't we?
Well, I guess we took it there when you talked about Tiger and his women. I guess that went to provocative in a male sort of way.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying for it because one of the things you should know that even though I'm accidentally a radio host and it's just a whole total accident, I do take it seriously, and I think you can tell because I'm so good. You know, I'm just really good at it. Wouldn't you agree?
I was just thinking that. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, I'm just amazingly good at it, and it's really no accident. And what we did with the soiree, we have, as you know, we have Daniel Thurston in Auckland, New Zealand, and we have Kamal in Istanbul, Turkey. And so we hired a radio coach, Robin Banks, who is an Irishman working in radio in London. So you can imagine when the four of us got together for a coaching session, we had to really pound the world clock in order to find a time that we could all get together. But one of the things that he told us was that we just had to be, a little more controversial. We had to interrupt each other, be more interesting. And one of our problems is that the three of us, and by that I mean Daniel and Kamal and I, we're just so polite. We're polite. And you just cannot be polite in radio because your listeners just leave in droves if you are, apparently, you know. So that's why.
So what's the plan what's the plan on that? I mean, which one of y'all is going to step up to the plate on that?
I think all three of us are determined to kind of slap each other around, you know, ongoing. And I guess my point is I'm trying to do that with you, you know. I've already accused you of being inconsiderate by not either getting a divorce or at least thinking about a divorce this week, right?
I've told you
you should say wildly amusing instead of hoot.
Uh-huh.
I've told you that your salads there in Alabama are sweet and yucky.
Uh-huh.
crazy, you know.
And what we do down here is we just say, thank you so much for having me on your show. I've enjoyed it. It was so lovely of you.
Isn't that ridiculous? You know, the other thing I did, I talked bad about Ann Curry. I said that Larry King was something of a prune face. You know, I mean,
well,
I've tried.
Know what, hey, you need me on here more often because, you know, I offset your negativity. I'm realizing that now.
I think my negativity is good. I'm working really hard for it, and I'm doing a really good job. So,
you know what, you're doing a damn good job. You are.
See, oh, and that's it.
Okay.
That is it. You are really from the South because you're being complimentary to me even when you don't even really feel that way. But here's what I want to talk about. And it's my show, so we talk about what I want to talk about.
We so do. We'll play your game. What is it?
Well, we talked about the fact that we both went to law school. And we talked about the fact that we're not practicing law. So clearly we're either doing something else or we're doing nothing. You know, that's the way I look at it. Are you practicing law? I'm not practicing law. We're not doing that. We're doing other stuff, right?
Right.
Or we're not. Or we're either doing stuff or we're not doing stuff. And it's such an odd career path to go to law school so that you can make a comedy CD about your divorce. You know, that is a very odd thing to do. And what you are doing in your business, because you also are building your internet empire, you're not doing, clearly, since you're unwilling to get a divorce to be on my show, you're probably also unwilling to get a divorce in order to have a comedy CD about divorce. So you've got to be doing something else, and you're not practicing law. So what is it you're doing, Martha?
Well, I do several things. I mean, where my heart is with my blog that's called thinkandmotivate.com, which is a blog that I do for inspiration for others and, you know, that kind of thing. And this is self-help. You know, I'm in the self-help niche, and I'm also in the newbie marketer niche. I help other people, or I tell other people, you know, what it is really like to be an internet marketer, which I think is just a tool for your business. And I help them learn how to go through the rabbit holes without making a lot of the mistakes that I do. And I'm developing one, which really came about from you asking me to be on the show in some way. I already had it formulated, but I hadn't really developed it. And now I am, and that is NoDivorceForMe.com. I'm going to actually tell people, I'm hoping, how to stay happily married.
I think that is a terrific idea, and I love all. I actually love all three of your business areas, and think you do a really good job of them. You know, I've obviously paid some attention. In fact, I was one of your customers. I bought one of your downloads, your audio downloads, and it was.
I'm trying to get everybody rewired. You know, rewire your mind into thinking good thoughts instead of the negative ones that we think so many negative thoughts daily about ourselves, and we don't even realize we do it. So I'm just trying to get people to focus on really their self-talk.
Yeah. Well, I do. I hope you've noticed I don't really have that problem. My problem might go in the other direction. You know, I might need to be rewired a little bit to to tone it down a little bit. But all of your writing is so positive and very, very accessible, very engaging. You're an excellent writer, and anyone reading your blog would think that you were always in a good mood.
Oh, well, thank you so much for saying that. And I will say this, when I write my blogs, I do try to be in a good mood. Obviously, we're not in a good mood all day, you know, every day, all day. But, you know, in my case, I was very close to my dad, who was the most positive person ever. The man never got up in a bad mood. He got up singing every morning. And I just kind of grew up with that and made it a part of my own life, too. You know, and it's not that bad things don't happen to me. Don't think that, and don't think I've had a, you know, charmed life or anything. But there's just no reason to dwell on the negativity. There's just not. It's a choice. And I make the choice to look at things, the glass half full.
Well, I totally agree with that. And, you know, that's really one of the premises of Women Are Not Funny, is that women use humor in a very directed way in order to achieve what they're trying to achieve in their lives. And it's something, you know, that we try to look at here when we're not busy being goofy, which is all we really do. But I think it is a fabulous idea, this marriage site that you have planned. I think that is going to be very, very popular because there are so many of you stupid holdouts who just refuse to get divorced.
Well, you know, in my case, I'm serious. I just don't let it enter my mind. And there it is. It's just another thing. And I'm not saying that, you know, my husband won't walk out tomorrow. We don't know about things like that. You know, a lot of women are divorced not through any fault of their own. So I'm not dumb enough to think that it couldn't happen to me. But I also, you know, try to keep the mentality that it's, you know, it's just not a part of the picture.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, there are, you know, there are a lot of stupid holdouts like you who will join your membership. I'm dead serious about it being a good idea. I think it is a really, really good idea. And that is the point, though. Women do laugh about these things. You know, we laugh about divorce. We laugh about marriage because there's a lot about marriage to laugh at. And I'm hoping there's a little bit to laugh at about divorce because, you know, it's what I'm involved in right now. I mean, I'm not involved. The divorce is done and so forth. But I am in the divorce state, if you will, right?
I've heard you talk about it. There are some funny things. I mean, I've heard you even say, you know, that you're nice now that you got a divorce, and that you, if you'd been nice during your marriage, you might not have ended up divorced. So, you know.
Yeah. So that would be, you know what that would count as? That would be a helpful hint. You know, you were talking about tips for the people who are members of your site. That would be one of them, is like, be nice. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, even when you don't want to be. And hey, for anybody that's listening that knows me, so just so they won't walk around and say she's full of it, I'm not nice all the time. I'm far from it. You know, I have my moments too, but I do try
really?
To stay positive.
Yeah.
I just want to set the record straight on that.
I think that's important, you know, and I don't want to disavow anything that you're saying, but I doubt very seriously that there is any one person listening today, next week, 3 years from now, who would have any doubt that you could be very, very mean and ugly.
Well, I'm so glad that came across during the interview.
It comes across loud and clear.
Without that coming across clearly. Okay, good deal.
Yeah, no. That, I mean, people are going to know that, Martha. You're going to know that.
All right, okay. Just want to be sure.
Yes. That's because, you know, and it's one thing that I tweeted about you. I said, you are very popular. And the reason I said that is I just wanted to flatter you. But I think you're a little bit popular.
And what does that mean? You know, I mean, what does that mean? A few people follow you on Twitter. Does that make you popular? I don't know.
Well, see, now you're going stone cold on me. Why couldn't you just say, "Why, thank you, hun," or something like that?
Oh, you know what? Where were my manners? You are so right. You know, I got kind of caught off on the last little topic there. You are so right, and I lost my manners there for a minute. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I am popular. And hold on, I'm looking for my tequila. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I am popular.
I don't see anything reason for us to get real deep about it. Like, you know, like, what is popularity? That's kind of where you were going, right? What is the meaning?
You know, I guess I was, instead of just saying thank you for the compliment. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What it means is that you were once a cheerleader. That's all it means. Weren't you once a cheerleader?
Well, I mean, at a very young age, but no, during the high school years, I was not. Mm-mm. Hey, you know, I already had that law in me. I was a class officer.
I was already doing
politics. Oh yeah,
you had started your political career. That
is
great.
I was out there running for office, giving speeches.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's one thing we talked a little bit about. We might possibly help people with the law. We might do something. We might do an audio or a teleseminar about the new FTC regulations. And so one day, I think on Twitter, I either did this or I thought about doing it. I tweeted something like, would anyone be interested in hearing me talk about the FTC regulations? And then my stream just disappeared. You know, it's like everyone went to dinner. It's not only that they didn't answer me, they left the building, Martha. That's how.
But I can tell you this, they are interested in it, or they better be. If anybody's marketing anything over the Internet, they better be interested in the laws about it.
Well, that's I mean, we're all interested in the law. We either want to follow the law or we want to break the law. You know, we want to be a heartbreaker or we want to break hearts, break the law, it's just the way we are. We're going to do one or the other, right?
It is.
We're going to pay taxes or we're going to go to jail. It all of those things. We're going to do any of them. We're all going to choose. That's the way I see it.
You're right. There's laws everywhere. That's right.
There are laws everywhere. Have you noticed that too?
I have. And you know what? I got to say, it's not my favorite thing. I wish that there were not so many laws because it is very hard to keep up with them. And I'm not always
Martha,
sure.
Just think. We both went to law school for 3 years. If there were less laws, we could have gone maybe for a year.
We could have. There were
you know,
a lot of things I wish they would chop off of all of that curriculum.
Well,
there were moments when I would have liked to have cut it shorter.
Hmm.
But you know what? Did you not learn how to be a speed reader during those years? Honestly, I can say this. The amount of material we had to read, I can now whip through, you know, books just like they're nothing.
I learned how to whine a lot about having to read. Did you learn? Did you get good at that? Because I got so good at that. I got real good at that. Here's the thing that gets me, though. At the time, so I graduated from law school in 1990. And at the time, this was really just kind of starting. In fact, I graduated from Ohio State University College of Law, but I did my third year as a visitor at University of Iowa College of Law because I moved there in the middle of law school, and you don't transfer, you know, you become a visitor. So I was a visitor. That's not where my degree was from. But they were starting to do it at that law school because it was brand new and a little more modern than Ohio State was, where your professors would just take something down to the copy center, and then it would be distributed to you. They'd bill you for copies of, you know, whatever it was. So it's very easy for the professors to just add to the readings, you know, over and beyond your casebook. But Martha, think about it. Now with the Internet, all your law professor has to do is just give you URLs and links and so forth. Just think about what people in law school are having to read now. Don't you imagine it's just more and more and more?
It probably is. I don't even want to remember that. I don't even want to think about what all they're having to read. Because I feel bad for them.
Yeah, I feel bad for them too. But, you know, once they graduate, there's one thing they can say. They graduated.
They got a law degree, yeah.
And so, that's something. That's something, isn't it? That is something.
It is something. It shows that we completed something.
It is. We definitely did. And it seems like kind of an unfunny note to end, and that's appropriate because this show is called Women Are Not Funny. So I think simply by ending it, by talking about the fact that we did just...
That's really not funny.
It's really not funny.
We ended this show by not being funny. I'm so proud of us. We could not have had a better show.
Well, it is true. And, you know, one of the things that I have really discovered, and this is something that I would like to leave you with, because I do think this will be helpful to you and something that you can gain from, and I hope our friends will gain from it too. So I'm out there a lot now since I do the soiree, and I do this show every week. And I'm also doing some interviews as part of my company's New Media Outer Circle program. So I'm doing a monthly call with Jackie Silver, Aging Backwards, and I'm doing a philanthropy call of my own, and Nancy Tierney is interviewing me. I'm interviewing her, and she's talking about how to do online marketing for indie musicians. So the point is, I'm out there a lot, and I'm about to release this comedy CD. The more you are out there, the more opportunities you can give people to reject you.
You know, I haven't thought of it that way. And, you know, my mom, I mean, you know, I haven't thought of it that way.
Of course you haven't thought of it that way.
Opportunities are coming at me everywhere. I had not even thought about the rejection. But, yes, I do face rejection quite frequently, actually.
Well, you see what I mean? I mean, it's the opposite side of the coin, right? So it's so much fun to be out there, but the nice thing about it is it's one more thing that people can say no to. So to all of the people who are not listening to Women Are Not Funny,
it's okay.
I really have very little to say to them, right?
Right.
Martha,
thank
you for being here today. You've been so much fun. I mean, you have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that women in the South eat sweet salads. You have also proven that some women in the South could possibly be sweet. I'm not saying you're sweet. I'm not going to do that. My radio coach told me not to say anything nice. I refuse to do it. I'm going to follow his directions. I'm just going to say to you, Martha, you know, you knew it was about divorce. You refused to get a divorce. You're uncooperative. I don't know why you're here. Goodbye.
Bye.